Second, we're on live now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Put it
down.
You better believe
better
it.
Believe it.
Blog Talk Radio.
B-L-O-G-M. Hey.
B-L-O-G-M. I watched Carla start it. Seen Ronnie do it. Sweet T and Say too. They came through. Taking their debut.
Yep.
In the recession, showing us how to make do. In the middle was heavy, but light on the edge. With Chauncey Gibson, the righteous get fed. Trey Love crying from his heart to the core. On the move with the mind of an entrepreneur. A better tomorrow, we play for sight. Maximize potential, reshape your life.
Yep.
Time ain't never wasted.
Oh, no.
They got flaws with guided meditation. Rise above it all, at least. Navigating through this Middle East.
Uh-huh.
It's like trying to rollerblade up a hill of grease. The radio media is a Maverick Tudor.
Woo!
With Grandma dripping Don Adams Jr. Y'all know what it is, man.
E-O.
In the building.
Building.
Hey, hey, hey. What's going on, family? Welcome back to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. I'm not going to remind you because you know what? You already know why I'm here. What's up, y'all? Thanks again for all your time. I really appreciate that. You know, I can never stress enough how important and how precious somebody's time is, especially on a night like tonight. We have a very special show lined up for you, family, and I'm not going to give it away just yet. I'm going to try to set the tone, as always. You know me. And wait on my guests to get in. Then I'm going to announce it, as always. So until then, family, sit back, relax, and enjoy a little something. We'll be right back.
Conscience call, telling me I need a girl who's as sweet as a dove. For the first time in my life, I see I need love. There I was, giggling about the games that I had played with many hearts, and I'm not saying no names. Then the thought occurred, tear drops made my eyes burn, cause I said to myself, look what you've done to her. I can feel it inside, I can't explain how it feels. All I know is that I'm never dishing up the raw deal, playing make-believe, pretending that I'm true, holding in my laugh as I say that I love you, saying no more, kissing you on the ear, whispering I love you and I'll always be here. Although I often reminisce, I can't believe that I found a desire for true love floating around inside my soul, because my soul is cold. One half of me deserves to be this way till I'm old, but the other half needs affection and joy, and the warmth that is created by a girl and a boy. I need love. to me, you're on the phone. Can't you hear it in my voice? I need love bad. I got money, but love something I never had. I need your ruby red lips, sweet face and all. I love you more than a man who's 10 feet tall. I watch the sunrise in your eyes. We're so in love when we hug, we become paralyzed. Our bodies explode in ecstasy unreal. You're as soft as a pillow and I'm as hard to steal. It's like a dreamland, I can't lie, I've never been there. Maybe this is an experience that me and you can share. Clean and unsoiled, yet sweaty and wet. I swear to you, this is something I'll never forget.
Hey, hey, welcome back, family, to another edition of the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And, you know, as I said before, I am he. You know, I always like to start off my shows and thanking you all for your time. You know why? Because your time is the most valuable commodity that you have, regardless of where you decide to spend it. Tonight, fortunately, you all decided that you wanted to spend it with me. And I am so honored and grateful for that. Let me give out my normal acknowledgments, family. You know, I want to send my shouts out to Carla B., our great leader, president and founder of EOTM Radio, Ronnie, the first lady of GPT, Sweet T, of course, and also Queen G out in the California area. And I know that we have some new additions to our family. Another host of his own show is Ron. He's joined the family, and we also have another addition on the West Coast that's joined our family. I'll mention his name a little bit later on in the show, family. I want to do a special indoctrine for him because that brother is on fire. With that being said, our show information, www.eotmradio.com, or you can go to www.queensofinternetradio.com. And tonight, family, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show that I have a very special show lined up for you tonight. I'm very fortunate to have with me, joining me in just a few minutes, contestants from the Miss Georgia, Miss Black Georgia USA contest. That's right, I said the Miss Black Georgia USA contest. These women are beautiful. They are elegant. They are smart. And they are intelligent. That's right. I said smart and intelligent because there is a difference. And when you hear them, guess what, family? You will see exactly where I'm coming from. The studio call-in number, if you want to talk to the ladies tonight about their platforms and the topics that they're going to bring to the table, is 718-664-6543. And I'm going to say it out there for you again. 718-664-6543. And again, family, my personal email is donadamstalkshow@eotmradio.com. If you want to send me some BlackBerry letters and have them read on the air. With that being said, you know, I'm not going to wait. I think we have one of our guests with us, and I'm going to go ahead and bring her on so that she can say hello and get her started. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm good. I'm good.
You're good. You're good. You're nervous?
hold on one second. Yes. Okay. This is Miss Yolanda Gibson.
Okay.
From the Miss Black Georgia pageant. I'm contestant number 5. And my I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. Go ahead, sweetie. Your platform is?
Okay. Our platform is Saving Ourselves, Black Women and Mental Health. And I, with my platform, I want to bring awareness to the diseases that plague the black women in our community, such as bipolar disorder, depression, and schizophrenia.
Wow. Powerful.
Right, so deep, right? And you know,
yeah, I mean, hey.
Why it's so deep?
Go ahead.
Okay, the reason why it's so deep is because we don't talk about it. That's why it's deep.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually something that a lot of people go through. I think they said that 50% of black people, it said 25% of black people suffer from mental diseases, but only 12% of the population, we're only 12% of the population. So it's like we like double the amount of people, we have that many diseases in our community that we're double the amount of people that populate the United States. And, you know, no one really talks about it. It's so taboo in our community, but I want to bring awareness to it.
Hmm. Well, you know something, Yolanda, I want to say this to you, you know, in all seriousness. You know, I think that I did a show on mental health, and I know that a lot of times and some of the other hosts have done shows on mental health awareness. And I want to say this to you that, you know, the fact that you're using your position or where you're trying to go, that the contest is an avenue to lift your voice up and speak out about that, about mental health, especially in the black community, as it affects our black women, is an outstanding thing. I want to, you know, applaud you for that, first of all. And then second of all, I'm really hoping that the family out there listening will tune in. Tune up, because you're already tuned in, but tune up and shoot Ms. Gibson some very interesting questions so that we can do some enlightening on this thing, because she is absolutely correct. Mental health awareness is sort of like what I like to call the quiet population.
Mm-hmm.
Those folks out there that are suffering that we never really discuss and talk about it. So with that being said, Yolanda, go ahead and give us some of your personal background and why you decided to pick up this particular topic, would you?
Okay. I am from Detroit, Michigan. Born and raised. I am a graduate of Michigan State University. I have 2 degrees, one degree in criminal justice and 1 degree in political science. I have a master's degree from Illinois State University in political science. None of that is actually related to mental health awareness, but I was raised in a household where my mother was mentally ill growing up, and that occurred actually all throughout my life. Even to this day, she suffers severely from that disease. She is paranoid schizophrenia. And for a long time in my life, I didn't talk about it because people didn't talk about it. You know, you felt like you were like a disease, you know, like your mom has a mental illness. And, you know, I started talking to people. The more I opened up, I realized the more other people began to open up. And when I started reading about it, I realize this happens to many people, not just in a black community, but in all communities, you know, but no one talks about it because it's, they say it's a sign of weakness or, you know, that person is not strong, but it isn't. It can strike at any time. Anything can happen to you in your life where it could be a very stressful situation and it just breaks you down. But with the right support, with the right people behind you, with the right, you know, exercise program, with the right diet, a lot of things help you to just keep yourself strong. And people don't realize that once you go over to the other side, it is so hard to come back over. Once you're classified as something, you know, it's a stigma that a lot of people suppress. Like, I think there are many doctors and lawyers and other people that take, like, you know, antidepressant medicine or take, you know, medicine to cure the, you know, the schizophrenia they may have. But once you go over to the other side, it's hard to come back over. So you want to make sure you take care of yourself, especially black women, so that doesn't happen to you.
Interesting. You know, that's a powerful testimony, especially from the aspect of, you know, you putting out there that, you know, you had the issue. It hit home for you personally, you know, by affecting, you know, your mother. All too often, and I think one of the things that I like the way you conveyed it was that we tend to turn a deaf eye and a blind ear. I'm sorry, a blind eye and a deaf ear to the mental health issues of the folks that are out there until it hits home. And not realizing that a lot of the things that you have already mentioned are key, because there are so many different things that I've learned, and my background is as a social worker and a counselor here in the Atlanta area, that I have come to realize that there are so many different mechanisms and things that we can do in place to prevent that from happening to us. You know, exercise is very key to that. And a lot of people don't realize that some folks are predisposed for mental illnesses. It doesn't necessarily have to just walk up on you out of the blue. Some people are predisposed for it. Now, that doesn't mean that you will become mentally challenged. But, you know, knowing what your status is, knowing what your family history is very important. You know, it's
that
very important.
That is true.
So I absolutely applaud you for that.
Thank
you. So now, what made you want to decide to go into the Miss Black Georgia USA contest?
You know, that is so funny because so many people that I talk to now, they ask me that question, and I don't know what it was. I don't think I'm a beauty queen or anything like that, but I think I was looking to do something different. I am a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, and so I'm used to helping people in the community, but I think I wanted to do something more so on my own. So I just started looking at things, and I don't know what happened, but I came across that website. I guess it was maybe God that, you know, led me to that website. But I really can't tell you, like, because I didn't get any information. I didn't get, like, a postcard in the mail. I didn't, you know, I just happened to stumble across it on the Internet. And
so,
point,
so wait a minute. So what you're saying is the contest didn't land on you. You landed on it.
I landed on it, right. It just really happened. I really could not tell you how I became exposed to that website, but I just came across it. Like, I never even knew it was a Miss Black Georgia anything, you know. But I started researching it, and I'm very glad that I decided to do it. It took a while for me to get the goal to, you know, do it and, you know, to put myself out there like that. But I'm glad I did. I'm very glad I did.
Well, you know, I'm glad you did too, because, and I want to point this out to you, is that, you know, and I'm a firm believer in this, is that things, that there's a reason and a season for everything, and that, you know, it may very well have been your reason and season, or your season with the reason for you to put this out there to reach somebody with some of the information that you and I are going to share tonight, because believe me, you know, as the family already knows, you know, Don EOTM Adams enjoys researching topics, so we're definitely going to chop this one up and put some things out there that are absolutely, you know, what I consider to be the necessaries. So stick with us, Elila. Hold on a second. I know just what you like. Maybe you remember this from the last conversation that we had. So stay with us for a second here, and we'll be right back, and we're going to chop it up with Miss Yolanda Gibson from the Miss Black Georgia USA pageant. Family, we're talking right now about mental health and black women. Stay tuned, family.
Lockdown, la 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 la, lockdown. You know it's kind of hard to convince somebody that you're really sorry. When you've done them wrong, you really want to take back the bad things that you said. But you just never fix it. And you move right on. Though you walk around with your ego standing tall, you're about to take a fall.
BlackMoneyMatters.com.
You know, when two people decide to get married, it's a pretty exciting time, but it also brings up a lot of hard questions. One of these questions is, how exactly are you and your spouse-to-be going to merge your money? The first step in doing this is to start discussing your financial goals. A good exercise to get this going is for each partner to make a list of his or her short-term goals, like paying off a credit card, getting a new car, or even going on a vacation. Then begin to list your long-term goals, like retirement or having a baby. From there, you should be able to determine which of these goals are a priority to both of you. Then, once you've identified these goals, you can focus your energy on achieving them. This is Gil Michelle.
That was your Black Money Minute, presented to you by BlackMoneyMatters.com. To get more information and receive our free newsletter, visit BlackMoneyMatters.com.
That was your Black Money Matters. See, y'all thought it was still a commercial. I'm telling y'all, I had that voice. Look, I'm going to tell you right now, if Anthony Hamilton had my looks with his voice, man, we make a lot of money. I'm going to leave it at that. But family, thanks for joining us tonight, family. We have on the line with us Miss Yolanda Gibson of the Miss Black Georgia USA Beauty Contest. She is contestant number 5. We have invited her to chime in with us here on the radio tonight to discuss her platform. Her platform is Black Women and Mental Health, and it's a very interesting platform, and she has already shared with us, family, some interesting things about her past and you know, what it was that brought her that brought this topic to her heart and her mind, because believe you me, family, when if I'm correct, Yolanda, you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you all get to choose the platforms that you wish to run with, correct?
You do, you do. Yes,
okay,
we were able to pick our own platform.
Excellent, excellent. Let me put some statistics out there. And, oh, and by the way, family, the blog room is open for all those that don't necessarily want to call in and have their questions placed on the phone. The blog room, the chat room is open, family, so you can log on and, you know, let it do what it do. Let me put some interesting things out there about black women and mental health. You know, and Yolanda, you mentioned something about African Americans making up 12% of the population, but yet we have such an astronomical amount of us that are still
suffering
from the mental fundamental health issues that are out there. At the beginning of the 21st century, African American women found themselves achieving new heights and reaching new milestones. Education and hard work has enabled black women to achieve successful careers and to maintain and respect in the mainstream society. Despite this good news, black women still find themselves lagging behind whites and other women in mental and health and mental health issues. For example, the depression rate among African American women is estimated to be almost 50% higher than that of Caucasian women.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge. Black people account for 25% of the mental health needs in this country, though they only make up 11 to 12% of the national population. To make matters worse, only 2% of the nation's psychologists are black. Now, I want to stop right there because, you know, I mentioned that because, and this is not to say that, you know, to hold a big stick against our Caucasians, brothers and sisters out there, or our white counterparts that are practicing the field of psychology or in the field of medicine, period. So I don't want to put that out there. But I want to say this, that that's huge because a lot of times, I think what has happened in a lot of our communities, or in the black community, is that certain things that we do that are considered social norms can sometimes be misconstrued. Now, I'm not taking away from the mental health issues, but what I'm saying is that's why I think it's important that we, you know, we realize that, you know, sometimes you're better off seeing a black psychologist versus a Caucasian psychologist, and vice versa for those Caucasian folks out there that may be suffering from the same type of ailments. Because culturally, there are certain things that we tend to understand coming from our own. What do you think about that, Yolanda?
I do agree. Okay. I do agree. You know, I believe that if you are an expert in your field, that's who you are. But, you know, black people, we are very dynamic and we're very different. And a lot of times, like you said, some of the things that we do, you know, a lot of people don't understand why we do those things or what goes on in our culture. And so I think for us to get a better understanding and to get the best help that we can receive, it's better to talk to someone that is of your race or maybe even of your gender that understands you.
Absolutely. I agree with you. The rates of mental health problems are higher than average for black women because of psychological factors that often result directly from their experience as black Americans. These experiences include racism, cultural alienation, and violence and sexual exploitation. Now, I brought those things up, family, because, you know, we just did a show, Carla B. handled a show, I believe it was yesterday or the day before yesterday, about children being safe. And I think one of the points that she really stuck out on was black children. But what about our black women? Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm a former law enforcement officer myself, and I have saw cases and worked on cases where, you know, black women have been kidnapped, taken overseas, sold into considered to be the white slave market overseas in different places. And it just outright, even in our communities that we live in today, exploited. Now, a lot of people may hear about such cases, but you know what? We don't often see the results. We may hear about the Shoshana Bradleys that was in New York and things of that nature, or we may see the cases when it's in the limelight, but what happens to those women after the fact, after this case has been resolved, and after the bad guy's gone away? Most of these women will suffer from some type of mental health issues, be it depression or something else, or schizophrenia or something else that may develop because of that. You follow me?
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Yolanda?
I think that black women in America today have it so hard. And that's and what you just spoke about was something that was beyond me about black women being kidnapped and, you know, sold into the white market. I'm just like, whoa, that's deep. Now, that would really cause, you know, something to, you know, trigger some type of illness. I would believe that. But just on a day-to-day basis, you know, because of the stigma that has been placed on black women of us being, you know, the angry black woman or, you know, just as us, you know, just being, you know, intolerable or intolerable, you know, it's hard for us because I think sometimes other races may treat you different based on what they have heard and not what they know. For instance, if you look at the CNN broadcast last summer, you know, they had the issues of black women. That's how big it has gotten that, you know, black women, you know, have a, you know, don't have the higher rates of HIV and AIDS. We have the highest rates of not getting married. We have, what did they say? They had a couple other things. But I think at that point when I listened and when I watched that segment on Us in America, I just got kind of sad. And I was just like, man, you know, it's hard out here for us. And it's known because they wouldn't make a news report if it wasn't. But it's just the way that people could treat you day to day. Like, people could just be mean to you just because of the color of your skin. They may not even realize they're treating you different, but they do. So I think sometimes even those small, minute things could trigger, you know, you feeling sad about yourself, you feeling that you're unworthy, that people don't like you, little things that, you know, in the end may cause depression overall because you don't feel like that, you know, no one loves you, or you may feel like that you're different because of this color of your skin. You may feel like that a man doesn't date you because of the color of your skin. It could be a numerous things, but I do believe that black women have it a little bit harder than other races of women. That's just my personal opinion, and which causes us to feel, you know, or to become depressed.
Hmm. Well, we're going to support your personal opinion because I'm going to tell you right now, I think you do as well. I think that black women do have it harder than most. Two things that I know that, you know, I've witnessed in the corporate arena and in the legal profession is that, number one, is the color of your skin, and number two is the fact that you are a woman. Those are two huge things that you've had that, you know, black women have had to overcome. So we recognize that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It has historically been difficult to treat mental health problems in African-American women. One reason for this is that black women tend to minimize the issues of the serious nature of their problems. Many believe that their symptoms are just the blues or that they're not proactive in changing their condition. There is also a stigma placed on mental health problems within the African-American culture that they are a sign of personal weakness, and not necessarily of a sickness. That tends to cause a lot of them to not want to venture into, you know, finding out, because I think it's just a lack of education, finding out what's going on with me. That's the question. What's going on with me, and why am I doing the things that I'm doing? What do you think about that, Yolanda?
I think that's very true. Like, I like to, like, you know, I watch the VH1 specials about, you know, just different people. You know, like Phyllis Hyman, you know, she, I think, was diagnosed with, you know, paranoid schizophrenia because she was lonely and probably was depressed, and, you know, she probably blew it off. But, of course, they said she got on drugs and stuff like that. But that all was a result of her probably feeling down and trying to, you know, find a way to uplift herself. You know, so many times we just look at things and we're so prone to say, you know what, we'll get over it. Just keep going. You know, you'll get over it. Just keep working. Just keep doing this. Just keep doing that. And my heart really goes out to those single mothers who, you know, who don't have any support, who have to keep going and have to, you know, kind of, you know, suppress whatever feeling they're feeling in order to just make it from day to day. And because of that, in the end, you know, it could just, you know, you may just be paranoid schizophrenia because everything just comes on you at once and now you're overwhelmed. And I just think that if we, you know, as women, just, you know, just look at what's going on with you at that time. Don't blow it off. If you're feeling some kind of way, don't wait to explode to, you know, get help. You get help at that point. You help yourself because once you're done, there's nothing else anybody can do. You know, you can want to save the world, but if you're mentally not right, you can't do anything.
That's powerful there. That is very powerful. Well said, well said. You know, let me throw a term at you, Yolanda. I, you know, and family, for those out there that are listening, I had the blog room open on another PC here, but what has happened is I am not Knight Rider. We miss her expertise. So Don EOTM Adams is doing the best that he can, so I will try to reopen the blog room for you momentarily. I saw some of you trying to get in, and I want to apologize. But now, with that being said, Yolanda, let me throw a term at you, and you can tell me if you're familiar with this or not. Black psychology.
I've heard of the term, but I am not familiar with that, so to speak, no.
Okay. Let me get some light on it with the family. Black psychology is the study of the psychological functioning of black people. There is a field devoted to that. Okay?
Okay.
I think in some institutions they call it African-American studies. But it's really an underlying approach to black psychology is the study of the psychological functioning of black people. Right. And some institutions call it African-American studies. Some of the exciting and important research black psychologists are doing today includes studying the importance of racial identity as a protective factor against depression and stress, studying the detrimental effects of racism and evaluating the effects of the media on the black psyche. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want the family to think about this. With all of that in mind, keep in mind that we already know that black men have it hard in society. We know that too. And I'm gonna put myself out on a limb. I'm gonna say this. In certain fashions of our society, white men have it hard too. We've forgotten about them, but they're starting to feel a lot of what we're going through here. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Believe me when I tell you that, family. A lot of white men are having it very hard these days. Now, with that being said, keep in mind, we're talking about white men having it hard. We're talking about black men. We know we're getting just raked over the post. But what about our sisters? Because guess what? I personally feel like this. Whatever's coming down on us is tenfold on you. What you think?
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, you know what? And it's funny you say that because, you know, with black women, it's hard. I don't know. And please, I want someone to blog in and please talk to me because I have, you know, different opinions about what I'm about to say, but about just being, not having any suitable mates. You know, that makes it harder in the world. And, you know, it's funny. I never realized that concept until now. Like, I'm about to be 30 years old in about a couple of months. And
she didn't say the age. Oh, she said the age. Oh, no.
But it's different because you look at life differently. You know, when I was 21 through 29 and a half, you know, I was having fun, you know. And, you know, you didn't – I guess I wasn't looking for a mate. I wasn't looking to settle down. I'm still not really looking. But I see
she said she wasn't ready.
I, you know, when the time is right, you want someone that's right. Women, we don't even have any support system as far as men to support us. Like, so many women are out here lonely, just looking for a decent guy to talk to. You know, women become depressed because of that. And I'm just being serious. I'm keeping it as real as I can. Like, and it's hard. Like, as a race of people, we got to do better. We got to come together. Mm. You know, we really got to get our stuff together because we're lagging. We're lagging so far behind, you know, even in that field, you know, we have to really think about our families and what that does to the kids. And it's just so much that it could be very overwhelming. I'm a very broad thinker. But just for what you said, for the woman, we have it hard because, like you said, we're sexually exploited. You know, and look at our bodies as being, you know, we're promiscuous and we're that. And, you know, a lot of times maybe men, because of what they see in the videos and how they portray women, they may not want to marry you. They might just want to have sex with you. So they play around with you, throw you to the side. You become depressed because of that. Or, you know, just looking at just how they do, like, the caste systems in the black community, how, you know, you may look at the lighter-skinned person as being better than the darker-skinned person. That could trigger anything. You know, it's so much that goes on in our community that I'm glad they do have a special study devoted to black psychology because we need it. It's just so much that goes on, and no one really knows an answer. But what I hate is that no one is trying to figure it out either, seems like. Not enough of us are trying to figure it out. How are we going to make our race better? You know, how are we going to start supporting black women so that we can become better? And, you know, we can have better families and better communities and we can help each other out better. How are we going to do that? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to bring it so we could come together and so that way we could help mm-hmm. each other. You know, we can't look for somebody else to help us all the time. We got to help ourselves.
Hmm. Interesting. You know what? I'm going to say this, Yolanda, and that's a very powerful question that you put at the end of that. You know, and I want to say this. I think the answer, and this is my personal opinion, is I think the answer is education. You know, one of the things that a lot of people like to say is that, you know, we just didn't know or we don't know. And, you know, I want to read something to support that. Part of the explanation for the reason why so many black women are going unheard of or unreported in the system as far as their mental health is, has to do with poor service that they often receive from mental health professionals. They're not treated correctly, and that causes them not to want to go there. But historically, historically, there has been an underdiagnosis of disorders like depression and an overdiagnosis of disorders like schizophrenia. One of the worst things you can do is be diagnosed with schizophrenia when you're just suffering from depression and end up being medicated for it. You know, and that's why I say we need to educate ourselves along with what's going on because, you know, once you know the nature of the beast, schizophrenia is not that difficult to recognize. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not saying that everybody out there is going to be a mental health professional, but at the end of the day, schizophrenia has certain qualities and characteristics that are somewhat different from depression. And by educating ourselves, we can understand what's going on. And that goes for our men as well as our women. You know, that's a powerful thing that you say. What can we do? That's what we can do is we can educate ourselves about mental health issues. I'm going to bring on real quick one of I think she's going to co-host with me tonight. She's one of the producers of the show, of the organization, EOTM, and she elected to come in and join us, which I'm grateful that she did. I'm always glad to have any of my EOTM family along with me. But, Ronnie, are you with us?
I'm here. Hi, Yolanda. How are you doing?
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for coming on. I was so glad to, you know, get you girls on here. I was getting a little worried. I didn't think I was going to be able to get you guys on. But I'm glad that you guys are here. And I'm loving
this
topic. No problem. No problem. And I love to be on the air with Don. You know, Don is he my co-host, other than nobody else.
All righty, let's run with it. Ronnie, I know you caught some of the conversation that we had. Did you have any input that you want to put down on some of that?
You know what? And I don't even know where to start because I think that, you know, I agree, I agree with, you know, Yolanda as far as, you know, like what can we do? I think that, you know, when we talk about, you know, our race and when we talk about, you know, black women, black men, our children, everyone, you know, I think that we need to, first of all, learn who we are as a people. And I think that, you know, as far as with black women, you know, we make our journeys, I believe, in my opinion, I feel that a lot of times we make our journeys harder than what they need to be because we worry so much about the other woman instead of worrying about ourselves. And, you know, in order for a woman to be strong, she has to be strong within herself. And when women, you know, a lot of times when you see women, you know, we're never supportive of our own race. You know, we're not like, you know, other races who, you know, I'll be specific. Let's take, you know, I always admire, you know, like the Chinese or, you know, the Koreans or, you know, even some of, you know, the whiter Americans, you know, they are, excuse me, when it comes to support, their support system is one that I've never seen before, especially, you know, the Chinese and Spanish or Latinos. You know, they will have a one-bedroom house and have 20 people living in it, and you will never hear them complain. You know what I mean? You never hear them say because they support themselves. And you're talking about not only with just, you know, grown-ups. This is grown-ups, children, grandparents, cousins. It'd be everybody in this one little house, and you would swear them down that they were just happy. Now, do that with 20 black people, and, oh, my goodness, it becomes the ghetto. You know what I mean? And I think that, you know, with us as women, when we talk about stuff like your platform with mental health, I think that, you know, it's something that really hits our race, and it hits our race hard. And I think that is something that we are so ashamed of, and that's the reason why we can't really get help with it, because we don't want people to look down on us. We don't want people to say, oh, you got a special child. Yeah, I know, you got like one of them special kids. Yeah. We're, instead of being proud, when you look at people like Tashina, Dwayne Martin's wife, Gina, that's what I call her, from Martin. You know, her son has is autistic.
That's the light-skinned girl.
Yeah, the big foreheaded girl. You know, her son suffers from autism. The same with, you know, Toni Braxton. You know, Toni Braxton's son suffers from autism. And when you see these two, that lets you know that, you know, it doesn't just hit common folk, as, you know, the older people would say, or regular people. It hits celebrities, too. And, you know, when you hear Toni Braxton or even Gina talk about, you know, their kids, you know, especially Dwayne Martin's wife, you know, she tells you, she talks about how it was hard for her, you know, to have this son who was autistic and not be able to control him, not be able to, you know, relate to him, not being able to understand why he would act the way he would and not get mad or not run out of patience. You know, she always says how her son made her strong, even in her marriage, because, you know, her son was kind of tearing away her marriage because she was ready to just hit the road, you know, and she was like, it took a lot out of her to really, you know, bring it back.
Wow.
What were you
going to
say, Don?
I think we had a caller on the line that may have had a question for us. Area code was 305. Call back in. I know you're listening, and I was waiting to get a break in there so that I could get you on to give a field a question for Yolanda or for Rodney or for myself. So give us a call right back, and I apologize for not being able to get in there and get you on, caller. 305 area code, I saw you calling. Call back in. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Yes, call back in. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear everybody's thoughts. Everybody call in. Everybody call in. Hit us on the chat room. Hit us on our Messenger. Hit us on Skype, Twitter. We are all of that stuff. Hit us up. Let us know what you think about this great
Well,
topic.
I'm not Ronnie. Ronnie, I'm having some difficulty with the chat room over here. You know, I'm just going to keep it real. We miss Knight Rider. Knight Rider, if you're listening, we miss you. But you know what? I want to put something out there for the family, too. And Yolanda, I found some answers to the question that you mentioned earlier about what can we do, and I want to put those out there, too, as well. But I wanted to say this. You know, I mentioned a term to you earlier about black psychology. Had you ever heard of black psychology? You know, something that I want to put out there for the family, too, is that African-American women are among the originators of the important black psychology concepts, okay?
Okay.
So, in other words, family, they went to the black women and said, listen, we need to look at what's going on with this particular group. You know, a psychologist by the name of Dr. Linda James Myers is well-known in the field for her contributions to what's called optimal psychology. This emphasizes achieving maximum mental health through three different concepts. Number one is holistic spiritual unity. Number two is communalism. And number three is proper consciousness. These are the these are the different concepts that she uses to approach a healthy maximum, if you will, state of mental health. And that's very huge, family. I'm going to put her name out there again. She's a psychologist. Her name is Dr. Linda James Myers. Google her up. Here's one of the things, too, that I want to put out there since Yolanda mentioned it, how to improve mental health. You know, to improve one's mental health, black psychologists and other mental health professionals agree that spirituality is a necessary concept in healing. Mm-hmm. That's huge because I know Yolanda mentioned that we don't support and stick with each other. You know, family, that goes towards our spirituality. Because I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that I mentioned on one of the shows that I did before was that when you murder someone spiritually, that's worse than taking their life because that person is left here to deal with what you have done. Okay? Mental health, family, it's a big problem. Number one on this list is know thyself. Oh, I'm sorry, Yolanda, did you have something you want to say?
Oh, no. No, I'm just listening. That's good information right there.
Okay. Ronnie, you okay?
I'm good. You go right ahead. You go ahead. Dr. Phil.
Okay. Number one on that list is know thyself. A healthy identity is critical to overall good mental health. For for women of African descent. This means seeing themselves as the recipients of generations of collective wisdom and experience from African and African American culture. Black women, it's all in your hands. What I'm saying is this: know yourself. That's huge. Know yourself and pull from those experiences and consider yourselves to be a collective recipient of wisdom and experience from all of these cultures. Number two, use social supports. Using social networks found in the family, neighborhood, church, the mosque, temple, wherever you decide that you want to go and get your spiritual healing, is how black women seek healing through others with similar experiences. Currently, many independent support groups for black women are being created around the country. Number three is build self-confidence. This comes from action. Those who put forth effort to achieve their positive ambitions must overcome fear and hard work. No, I'm sorry, overcome fear and work hard. Did I say that correctly? That's right, work hard. Regardless of how successful we are in the end, it is our determination and sense of control that gives us confidence in self. Family, that's huge, and I'm going to tell you why, because so many of our women, our black women, have made it to what they think is at the top of the food chain. But what about your self-confidence? What about those things that are going on internally? Okay? That's why that's huge. Number five. Recognize the symptoms. We mentioned that earlier in the show. By educating ourselves and knowing the symptoms of the different things that are out there that are affecting us. No two people experience mental disorders in the same manner. Symptoms will vary in severity and duration among different people. For example, while having feelings of worthlessness is a common symptom of depression in white women, changes in appetite is cited as a common sign of depression in black women. Mm-hmm. Did you know that, family? White women will lose their appetite when it comes to depression. That's one of the main signs and signals for them. But for black women, a common sign of depression is a change in appetite is cited as a sign of depression for black women.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Worthlessness is worthlessness. Worthlessness is a sign for white men, and change of appetite is what works for black women. And the last one, family, is develop an attitude of optimism. Those who think positively are greatly immune to the stress and the feelings of depression in everyday life. Yolanda, what do you think about that?
I agree with every statement that was said. I was writing on sound as you were talking about it, and because, you know, it makes my platform better. But I think that the best two are to know thyself and to build self-confidence. Like, I know personally I've always loved being a black woman. I've always loved being black. I've never had any qualms about being black. But oftentimes, your counterparts you don't see that in them, you know? And I think that is what makes me stronger, because I know who I am, and so no one can easily break me down. You don't have to put a lot of work into it, but I'm not going nowhere, you know. I'm going to stay strong.
I don't even know, you got to put a lot of work into it.
Right, you have to put a lot of work, or we ain't going nowhere. We're going to stay to the end. I come from a great people. You know, I love my fellow, you know, black women comrades. I just love everything about our culture, but that is so key. And then just to build the self-confidence, because there are so many things that are in the media to break us down. So many things. You know, it seems like for some reason when you read different things or you look on TV, you hear people talk about black women, it's like for some reason it makes you feel like that you can never get it right. No matter what you do, you can never get it right. It's just like, but if you have confidence and you know who you are, you know that you already had it right. You know, no one can validate that or take that from you.
Wow. Powerful. Ronnie, what's up, Ronnie?
Yolanda done took everything that I was going to say. But
I know you got something up there, Ronnie. I know you got something up there. Because what she just said was so profound before.
Well, Ronnie, come on, sweetie, give it a shot.
Yeah. Oh, God, y'all going to stop making me laugh. But, no, she's right, and you are too. You definitely, you know, with anything, you know, you always got to know yourself. But it's interesting to hear how, you know, one deal with depression and to hear, you know, how the different races do it, because I've always thought that, you know, it was done a little bit differently, but I'm glad to hear, you know, it was done, you know, different than what it was that you said, because I always thought that, you know, white people, when they get depressed, you know, they tend to, you know, go to different things, and, you know, when blacks get depressed, you know, they tend to eat. I know how I do, so let me speak for myself. You know, when I get depressed, I eat. And it's normally just like popcorn or ice cream, and then Mountain Dew becomes my favorite, my best friend. But all the other stuff doesn't really work for me when I'm depressed. you know, alcohol don't work for me. That don't help me when I'm depressed. It makes me even more depressed, believe it or not.
Speak for yourself, Ronnie.
I know how you self-medicators do over there, but, you know, I self-medicate.
That's right, honey. I am a self-medicator.
Yeah, I would be on the floor knocking somewhere. You know, we wouldn't even be able to have a show if I self-medicate. I'd be asleep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely, you know, it's good to hear. And, I want to hear more. Go ahead, Dr. Fields. Cause, you know, I'll be over here writing down too, Yolanda, girl. Don't
Okay, but now keep in mind, let me make sure this is our other contestant here. 770-871, you on with the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, Don. This is Jada. How are you? Hi, Yolanda.
Hi, that's Yolanda. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, right? Oh, cute. Hey, Jada, how you doing?
Fabulous, thank you.
Oh, great to have you. Absolutely. Well, family, we're getting ready to move to the second segment of the show, which is going to be about hunger, and we're so pleased to have Jada join us. But before we do that, family, I want to give Ronnie and I want to give Yolanda an opportunity to give some final comments on the subject that we just discussed, and then we're going to move it on with a song break commercial, and then we're going to come back, and then we're going to chop it up with Jada, and we're going to talk about some of the hunger issues that's going on in our communities. Go ahead, Yolanda.
Okay. I want to say thank you for having me on the show. It has been a pleasure to put my platform out there. I hope that I have enlightened people to go and research things that, you know, hurt, or especially black women, that hurt ourselves and, you know, that hinder us in improving our community. And please buy your ticket. So, other than that, I'm good. Thank you. Thank you for having me on the show.
Absolutely, Yolanda, anytime. And you're welcome to stay with us if you want to hang with us for the rest of the discussion. I know your segment is over, but if you want to hang with us, you're more than welcome. We love your input.
Okay.
With that being said, Ronnie, go ahead. Ronnie, you want final thoughts on that mental health issue?
I do, and I want to commend Yolanda and say, you know, thank you so much for choosing a platform, you know, that I know that is so dear and personal to you. And I say God bless you to you, and to continue to keep your strength and your passion, and to keep God first in everything that you do, and He will always and continue to keep you strong and help you go through the ordeal that you're going through with your mom. I can tell that you're a very strong and passionate person for her, and I know that you are helping her to continue her journey, so I commend you for that. And I say to you, do your thing, you know, work your platform, and, you know, much success to you. And, you know, I won't be there, but I'll be there with you in spirit. And I'll say to you guys that, you know, make sure everyone picks up our June issue of The Buzz Wire, so that way you can continue to follow Yolanda along with the other contestants on their journey.
Well, thank you so much.
Wow.
I appreciate that information.
Powerful. All right, family, stand by. We're going to take a fast break on this one and come back with some hunger pains. I mean, you know, not making light of the situation, but you know what? In the meantime, I'm going to go fix the sandwich. We're going to get it on in a minute. So we'll be right back, family.
Come on. Men's Magazine, the hottest urban men's magazine on the planet, period. Only real women with real curves at Stennis. www.stennismag.com. www.stennismag.com. The truth is out there.
Hey, hey, family, welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show, and we're chopping it up with the Miss Black Georgia USA contestants. We're talking about their platforms, ladies and gentlemen, and as I introduced on the top of the show, The platform is the community issue or issues that each one of the ladies has decided that they wanted to put out there and I guess operate or run their campaign under. And early in the top of the hour, we had Yolanda Gibson with us, who elegantly discussed the topic of mental health in the black community with our black women. Did a wonderful job. And we're now joined by Ronnie, who is also, as you all may know, one of the producers of the show. Always glad to have her as long on anything that we do. Give me a minute, family. Hold on a second. All right, 1 second. Oh, that sandwich was good. Yeah, okay. Now, with that being said, we're going to move on, and we're going to talk about hunger. And now we have Miss Jada Campbell. Cable. Did I say that right,
Cabell.
Jada?
It is Cabell.
Cabell.
Yes.
Cabell. Jada Cabell. She's here to discuss fighting hunger, one spoon at a time. And, you know, with that being said, family, with no further ado, we want to give Miss Jada the floor and lend her your ears. And by the way, family, I want to put it out there. I am just so sorry, but the blog room apparently is just not going to be open tonight. Don EOTM Adams is struggling with the blog room, so we're not going to make that a secret. Feel free to call in. We'll get your comments on with Miss Jada. And also be advised, too, family, for those that have comments after the fact, Yolanda's still with us if you have a comment for her as well. But go ahead, Jada, and give us some information about your platform.
First, greetings to everyone. Hope everyone has a wonderful day and your evening is off to a fabulous start. And I'm just wanting to thank you guys for having me a part of it. Again, hi, Yolanda.
Hi, Jada.
I can give you, first before I get started, how was that sandwich?
Oh, we got some jokes, huh?
Yeah, how was it? Was it tasty? Did you put kale and mustard on it? Like, how was
that sandwich? Was good. It was so delicious. Guess what? I threw it back up.
And see that? You have jokes, and you don't know that I will get feisty with you behind food jokes. But let me tell you, yeah, I will. This is very dear to me.
Okay.
My platform is who I am. My platform was food. I mean, from day one, food basically. I've been cooking since the age of 8. I learned how to cook red beans and rice at the age of 12. So this is what I am, and I've always had the passion to feed people and see smiles on people's face, and just, you know, that's the biggest present that someone can give to me is the smile and the thank you for the food, and that was good, and, you know, that's, to me, that's an honor. But it wasn't until after Hurricane Katrina, I came here to Atlanta, and in my hotel, now, it's crazy, years coming here, I would always come and party and have fun, be a tourist. But just as soon as I came here after Katrina, and I was in my hotel downtown, and I believe it was one day I was going walking to the Hard Rock Cafe, sorry to give them plugs, but they had, you know, it was that restaurant that helped, you know, I guess the food there, and I was full, and I packed my food, and I was walking back, and a homeless guy walked up to me, and he said, you know, hey, lady, can I have your food? I don't want your money. Just give me your food. I'm really, really hungry. And it opened my eyes. Like, around me, there were all these people who came walking up fighting over the food and who can have the plate, and, you know, we're starving. So that day started Diva on a Mission, fighting hunger. So, I mean, in the hotel, I would, you know, buy food to just feed the homeless. Like, and I'll never forget, my mom knows this story. And we were on the phone one day, and I was walking back, and they were looking for me. At this point, they knew me by name. I was walking back to my hotel room, and I'm looking for a certain guy who I know hadn't eaten that week, so I'm looking for him, and he, you know, they're telling me that he's coming back, and I'm like, what are you doing? I was like, feeding the homeless, and she's like, how the heck are you feeding, and not those words there, but how the heck are you feeding the homeless, and you're homeless yourself? And I was like, what? I'm not as homeless as they are. You know, I have a bed. I have hot water. I have the option of taking money out of my pocket. I'm saying if it's my money, FEMA, whoever it is, I can go and buy something to eat. So that's where the passion came from, and it's just been here ever since. I know personally I fed over 10,000 people in the last 5 years, and that's, you know, my mission will never stop. That's, and for you to be able to have a good sandwich, you know, and enjoy it, and have an option of the meat selection you want. If you want to add pickles or mayo, I mean, there's kids that only have the opportunity to eat lunch at school, and that's it. They go home and starve. So it's bigger than you think. There are subdivisions, I mean, in the nicest neighborhood, and these families only can pay their bills, can't afford to get food, or families that's sick and paying for chemo and prescriptions and can't feed their family. So hunger,
wow,
to me, is the issue that's way more imaginable than just the homeless. It's so far and so long.
Wow, powerful, powerful. Well, you know, you answered one of the questions that I was going to ask you before. One of the questions that I asked Yolanda earlier was, what made you choose that particular platform? But you've already touched on that, which, and you did so gracefully. But I still have another question for you.
Okay.
I know you all are in the Miss Black Georgia USA pageant or contest. Now, what about the contest what has sparked you to want to be a part of this particular contest?
Well, to be honest, what made me be wanting to be a part of it, I hadn't heard about it since I've been here. It'll be 5 years. Last year, I was invited to be a host for the event, so I actually hosted the event last year. So I got to meet Coletta, the founder. I got to meet her, you know, her staff, and then the people who were there volunteering and doing everything. And I got to meet the ladies last year who, you know, who were the contestants, and the new Miss Black Georgia who the crown will be taking. But, you know, the experience was so great, and I fought back for a long time wanting to be a part of it. You know, everyone telling me you should, and then I'm saying, no, I can't, because these are some educated, very smart women, and I say that all the time. I get chewed out when I say that because people always say, but Jada, you got so much going on. It's not the fact. I like to pay homage to where it is. These women they went to school. Some of them are still in school, so I was intrigued by that because I'm a high school dropout, actually. You know, I,
wow,
if I had to do to get out here and take care of my family. So just, you know, when I asked others and people were pushing me to be on it, and I get the emails from Coletta, I'm like, why is Coletta emailing me about Miss Black Georgia? And it just was like, you know what, go for it, go for it. And it has been the best experience ride of my life. Like, it's just to know these women and to the passion that Coletta has behind it. I mean, it's awesome. And Miss Black Georgia speaks every platform, from ours to the newcomers next year to the previous ones. You know, your platform can really shine with that title. So that's basically it, the reason why I really want to be, because I was just intrigued. And just to show women, those ones who, you know, the high school dropouts, young mom, you know, getting out here working 3 and 4 jobs, trying to take care of their families, and, you know, having the opportunity now to be a part of a pageant, who would have knew? So that's the reason why I really, really wanted to do it.
Wow, that's incredible. You know, that's one, you know what, let me tell you something. That right there is the stuff that books are made of. I just gave you a huge hint. That's the stuff that books are made of.
I have a book coming out August the 28th. What song are you talking about? It'll be in store, so you don't have to worry. Don't think you can plug off of that one. He said, that's a hint. No, it's already there. It's a memoir with pictures and recipes and inspirational quotes and stories, so it's already there.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome, and I'm ready and excited about it. I should have sent you the copy of the cover, but we had some issues previous with the previous publication company, but glory be to God, it's,
mm-hmm,
we started all over again, and we'll be ready again in August.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you this, Jada, like I did with Yolanda's platform. You know, one of the things that I like to do with the family when they listen to the shows is I like to put information out there statistically to support any of the topics that we have. And I've done that, and I'm going to do that with yours as well. So let me just get right to it. The number of Americans, family, this is actual current data as of November 16, 2009, which was less than 12 months ago. The number of Americans who live in households that lack consistent access to adequate food soared last year to 49 million. That's the highest since the government began tracking what it calls food insecurity. About 14 years ago, the Department of Agriculture reported in November of 2009, the increase of 13 million Americans was much larger than the most pessimistic observers of hunger trends had expected and cast an alarming light on the daily hardships caused by the recession's punishing effect on jobs and wages. That's huge, family, because a lot of people think that hunger is a racial issue. Now, I know that we talk about a lot of things that affect the African-American community and the Latino communities and so forth and so on this show, but I want to put this out there for you, family. Hunger is not a racial issue. Hunger, to me, in my mind, is just it ranks right up there with child support. It is a social issue. It is a status issue. You understand? And that is one of the reasons why when I heard these young ladies speak so eloquently the other day on the show, I said, you know what? Let's have them on and give them each time on this show to put out information about their particular topics because, you know what, that's huge. EOTM is really and truly about enlightenment, education, and enrichment of the mind. Entrepreneurs on the Move is what it stands for, EOTM. And that is a part of why I decided to have these topics on here. I'm going to put one more statistic out there, and then I'm going to turn it back over to Jada, so she can comment on it. About a third of those struggling in households have what researchers now call very low food security, meaning a lack of money, forced members of the family to skip meals, cut portions, or to otherwise forego food at some point in the year. Go ahead, Jada.
I'm so glad that you touched both of those topics because 2007, that's before the recession really started being talked about. 2007, for my birthday, I wanted to give myself a great present, so I went on a road trip feeding the hungry. I went from Atlanta to Memphis, California, Arizona, Northern California, Vallejo, Ohio, and all these places I touched, there was no color barrier on hunger. Everywhere I went, it was not just us. It was, I mean, if you were with me in this car on this road trip to see the people out there who were hungry, it will blow your mind. It's stuff that America doesn't talk about. I mean, it was families who, like I said, lived in nice homes, didn't have a carton of milk in their refrigerator, or eggs, nothing, bread, nothing. You know, I was just riding the streets asking, have you guys eaten? Can I feed you? Can I come in? I'm going to buy you some groceries and come in and cook with you guys. People were, like, crying, couldn't believe I was offering that because they hadn't eaten a meal in a week. So that's
wow.
Wonderful that you say that because people don't believe. When I say hunger to most people, they immediately think about the homeless. But it's beyond that. It's phenomenally beyond that. There are so many people starving right now that is crazy. And to be honest with you, I've been in some of those situations where I had to make $20 work for my family. You know, I have four kids. And I know the struggle, so that's how I know that this is a situation. And some people can look at it and say, well, they're working. That doesn't help. Like, if you think about if you're going to eat, are you going to pay the bills to keep your kids inside of a house? You're going to pay those
Jada,
bills.
You
let them go to school tomorrow to eat at school. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Absolutely, I can hear you. Jada, you said you had four kids?
Yes, I have four, and I'm raising two. And I have five stepkids. Yes.
Sister, I applaud you even more so because I know that it's hard enough to do what you all are doing as a single woman or even with one child in tow, but wow, I applaud you for that. Wow, absolutely. Let me put some more statistics out there for you, family. And Jade, I apologize for cutting in on you, but that kind of took my breath away. And whoo, all y'all girls look good too. The other two-thirds of the population typically had enough to eat in their homes, but only by eating cheaper or less varied foods, relying on government aid like food stamps or visiting food pantries and soup kitchens. You know, and I wanted to put that out there for the family, too, because you know what? Family, a lot of us have learned to equate education, brain power, however you want to look at it, the ability to think, figure out things, and move forward in life with our food input. That's important because how can you send a child to school when he's hungry. I heard a teacher say this once before, and I remember when I was a little boy, and I know my mother had struggled to raise four boys by herself. That's why that number stuck in my mind, Jada, when you said four, because my mother raised four boys by herself. And one of the things that stuck in my mind was I went to school one day, and I was hungry, and I was angry because I was hungry. And the teacher looked at me, and, you know, she realized that something was wrong, and she took me to the side, and she got to talking to me, and I said, well, look, you know, I don't have anything to eat, you know, X, Y, Z. I'm hungry. You know what she said was, you know, a child can't learn if he's hungry. And that's another reason why I said, you know, this is important to me because, you know, eating cheaper food means that you're not going to get the food that's best suited for you. That's a key phrase, eating cheaper food. What do you think about that, Jada?
I believe that is so true. One, you're not getting the proper nutrients that you need. Two, is cheaper, so you can imagine the portions are smaller, so they're already eating fast because they're hungry, so it's not lasting in their stomach the way it needs to do, and it's digesting so fast that it doesn't even, mentally, you don't even think you've eaten because you're hungry like in the next 30 minutes. So that whole process is not just about the cheaper, it goes into the portion size, you know, if it's helping you with the nutrients that you need, so you're not healthy, and you know, people think when you hear eating healthy is eating organic foods or foods that's not fried or fattening, but healthy is eating a full meal, period. You know, they need to be able to eat things that, you know, are good to them, to their bodies, so they can think. Because I know that I can't function if I'm hungry. And that's a fact. Like, I'm Gemini, so if I don't eat, another person will come out.
Oh, she going to the signs. Oh, my God. Oh, she going to the signs.
My fashion flair, my poet who I'm going by, Nikki Giovanni, she's a Gemini as well, so they couldn't match me with a perfect person. So shout out to the Gemini.
Oh, my God. She giving shout out to the Gemini. Oh. Okay, Ronnie, talk to her, Ronnie. What's up with the subject, Ronnie? Talk to us about the food, Ronnie.
First of all, you know I got to say, yes, I am a Gemini too, so I support.
Oh, no.
Thank you, Ronnie. That's my sister.
Oh, no.
We are true twins. So please, for everybody who don't know it, do your research about a Gemini. We are the best. I don't care what anybody say, because everybody wants a double, and we are true doubles.
Oh, no. Y'all going to drive. So, look, you know what? Let me just tell you something. Y'all still got to get up pretty damn early in the morning to mess with a Taurus.
Whatever.
Look,
he put yeah, that's us. Slow it down.
Right
now.
I need
my phone. Oh, what did you say, Jada?
I said I need a sound effect button. You know, you're cheating.
Well, you know what, Jada? That's why they call it the Don Adams. No, I'm just kidding. But you know what? I'm going to say this to you. You know, all seriousness aside, not all seriousness aside, all playing aside. You know, did I say that right? You know, sometimes I have to catch myself. But you know what? This hunger thing is a real issue.
I want to throw this in. What you just said. Go ahead,
sweetie.
That's who I am. And I'm glad that you said that, you know, all jokes aside, but I'm trying to, you know, there's so many people out there who can get involved with this, but being in this nonprofit arena, I've learned that people are scared to approach the serious tight necks, you know, the tight dress and the tight suit and the necktie, you know, really tight around your neck. They don't want to even touch the subjects or come and support or find out what it's about. So I love being who I am. I love getting my hair, my weave fresh in and going out there.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No, that they can come be a part of this problem and try to erase it, you know, because people have been looking back for so long at, you know, the big names and, oh, they'll take care of it. But they need people like us to get out there and work it. So don't lose that, Ronnie. Don't lose it, okay?
That's right. That's powerful. That's very powerful. You know what? I want to put some more information out there for the family, too, since we're back on track. One figure that drew officials' attention on the subject of hunger in America was that the number of households, 506,000, in which children faced what's considered to be low food security went up another 300, that number was up from 323,000 the previous year. That means that over 200,000 families began to struggle from last year to this year when it came to having enough food in the homes. President Obama has pledged to end childhood hunger by the year 2015. He released a statement while traveling in Asia that called the finding that I just mentioned particularly troubling. So, family, the numbers are out there. And anybody that listens to the Don EOTM Adam Show knows that on any topic, and girls, y'all can tell the rest of them, on any topic that we discuss, I'm going to do my homework. And guess what? I'm going to put the statistics out there for you because we cannot deny those statistics. At the end of the day, this problem is so huge. The president has made it a mission of his and his administration to put things in place, mechanisms in place, to end childhood hunger by the year 2015. What do you think about that, Jada?
I need to be calling Obama tomorrow. I'm going to have to make
me a call. Well, let me look at my Rolodex and get the number for you, baby. He will take your call.
Send it on over. Because, I mean, it's an issue that needs to be addressed, and it's an issue that needs to be stopped right here in America. I mean, I'm all for going out of the country and helping, but there's so many kids and families starving right here today. Right now, kids are going to bed with nothing to eat, and it needs to stop.
Mhm. You know, Yolanda decided to stick around, and I'm pretty sure she's going to be supportive of what you're putting out there, and I know she's still with us. Yolanda, did you have anything you want to add on to the topic that we're talking about now with the home with the food issue?
I'm sorry, I had my phone on mute. You actually don't want to have anything to say about this topic.
Yes, ma'am.
I
surprised you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. I was like, okay, let me make this work. That particular topic is very profound. I for instance, how can I say this? That hunger thing actually hits home with me, myself, which is a story that may make people cry, but it is what it is, and I think you can only help people by talking about what goes on. But my mom, like I said, she had a mental illness, so, you know, things weren't really right in the household. And I just remember, I guess I was destined to do things and meet different people to help other people, such as Jada, but I just remember as a child how in my mind I felt like that we weren't going to have enough food to eat, or we didn't have enough food to eat, so we were like had like things that were like not nutritional, you know, to eat or what have you. And I remember like at the end of the meal, I would like take the scrapings off, and this is like it is dear to my heart, but it just let me know at that point in my life that I was destined to help people. But I took the scrapings from the plate and I tried to save them. Because in my mind, I always thought we was going to be hungry because things just weren't right in the home. So that her platform is there to me myself. I have been hungry. You know, I have had haven't had things to eat, and it hurts. And you cannot function. You cannot think as a child. You know, I remember being so grateful to eat school lunches in elementary school. You know, some people would, you know, they would frown up at it. I was happy to get it because I didn't know if I was going to go home to a meal. So that is a very big topic. And I think what hurts me more so than anything else is that we always are trying to help. Like, I know we help people in America, but we don't help people in America enough. There are so many homeless people in America that, you know, don't even have the resources to feed their family. But we are going, we'll send so much money overseas to help other people. I don't understand that. But, you know, I think that topic is well needed, and, you know, in the Miss Black Georgia pageant. I know that, you know, whatever happens, Jada has already, you know, did her part to help the homeless and feed the hungry, and she will continue to do, you know, more things to help the homeless and feed the
hungry. Not only that, Yolanda sent a text message. Yolanda, on Sunday, she felt so bad I fed the homeless, and told me a text message. I know we've already made a partnership, but she got really sick on Sunday and felt so bad that she couldn't make it out there. I'm like, Yolanda, get yourself together. Don't worry. We got the rest of our lives to continue doing this together. So she's already made that, along with the other girls, you know, something is so peculiar, Yolanda. I don't know if you thought this or if I did, when we saw the lineup, I'm like, okay, they put me and Yolanda together, and it's, you know, it's just funny. Yolanda's been to
my
house.
Right, it is funny.
So she's already there.
Right. You know, I'm about black women. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off, but I'm a black woman. It's like anybody who's trying to help promote us, man, we got a bond already. We already got a bond.
No, it's okay, baby. Hey, listen, this show is about you guys. Believe it or not, it's about you guys. I'm just here to facilitate this thing and to keep it moving. But this is about you guys and your platform. And I was just about to say that, you know, it's amazing that you all were the first two up in the lineup and that you all also have a personal connection with each other. That's wonderful. Stay tuned, family. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to do some advertising, of course. We got to pay the bills up in this house. And we're going to throw some jammies at you. I'm going to select something for you ladies, too, while you're, because y'all know I love putting selections out there for you now. You know, hey, I have to do it. It's just a part of who I am. But anyway, family, stick with us. We'll be right back on the Don EOTM Adams Talk Show. We're chopping it up with two of the Miss Black Georgia USA's finest in the contest. And, fellas, I do mean the finest.
The champ is here.
Hey y'all, it's here, it's finally here, the buzz is here. What is the buzz?
EOTM BuzzWire magazine at eotmbuzzwire.com is a monthly magazine on the web.
Continuing with EOTM's mission to encourage, empower, and enlighten. BuzzWire magazine at eotmbuzzwire.com will help bring entrepreneurs together, and connecting minds will increase networks to increase networks.
Read EOTM BuzzWire magazine each month at eotmbuzzwire.com and stay enlightened and empowered.
Rubbing on the bone, huh? hugging me, kissing me, loving me at home. If loving you was right, then I don't wanna be wrong. I guess me and you can get it on. I met you on a set, set you on a jet, jet set complected, partially corrected, recently elected, verbally respected. Two scoops of ice cream, baby girl licked it, liked it, loved it, place no one above it. Push come to shove it, rubber dub dub it, deco double jizzy, made your head dizzy. Baby girl get busy with me, Mandy XO, candy sex flow, do it all night, plus sweet as Alexo. Rub your back slow, you rub my neck slow. Tonight's the night, yeah you know how that go. I'm at
Hey, welcome back, family. Welcome back, family. We're talking, welcome back to the Don Adams Jr. Talk Show. And, you know, one of the things I like to do is I like to thank you all, family, for your time. Because you know what? While I have my guests here on the line, I do that normally because, you know, time is the most precious commodity that we all have. And when I heard some of the platforms, all of the platforms that these women these young women that were speaking about the other day on the show, I wanted to make it a personal mission of mine, and I completely had the 100% support of my producer, Carla B. and Ronnie, to give these ladies time on the show to discuss their platforms. The top hour of the show, we were talking with Yolanda Gibson, who is a contestant number five in the Miss Black Georgia USA contest. Her platform was Black Women and Mental Health, and we chopped it up with her for an hour, along with Ronnie, the first leader, GPT. And now we have Ms. Jada Cabell, who is discussing the fight against hunger, one spoon at a time. Ronnie, with that being said, did you have any comments that you wanted to add on what we've already talked about, Ronnie?
I do. I want to say to Ms. Jada, to my little Gemini twin over there, girl, you are very powerful, and I commend you for all that you have done. Like, to spend your birthday going on a road tour to feed other people is always, you know, you have a very big heart, and I always love to hear about people who do stuff for other people because it's something that we as Black Americans don't do. You know, we never want to look out for the next person. We always, you know, tend to turn our nose down on people. And so I commend you for that. And I also, you know, want to add to what you said that, you know, hunger is not just about homeless people. You know, so many people just think that because they see the people, you know, that's outside looking for change and stuff like that, that they're the only ones that, you know, are hungry. You know, it goes so far, and I think that, you know, if you and Yolanda and the rest of the girls can, you know, build a strong foundation, you know, and really get this stuff moving, you know, do know that EOTM will be there to help and support you guys and to go along with
Absolutely.
This mission. And I must tell you guys that, you know, it had to be God to help me pick because I'm the one who actually set up the format for the show with putting everyone together, and I just felt like with you two that your platforms really went together. I didn't really know the spiritual bond behind it, but now I see it, and I can tell that you guys
Ronnie, I don't mean to cut you off. Ronnie, you put that together, right?
Yes.
Wow, listen, Yolanda and Jada, I'm going to tell y'all something. Let me tell you something. There's power in words, and there's even more strength in numbers. Y'all need to pay attention to that. It was by design that y'all came on here together. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Thank you, Dr. Phil.
I got you, Dr. Phil.
It is. I mean, it's you know what it is? It's like sometimes, you know, you can kind of, and when we had all of you guys on, you know, the very first time, you know, and I spoke to Carletta later that night, and I'm so excited because she told me she's moving to D.C., which is where I'm at. So I'm so happy. I mean, I'm sad for you guys down in Atlanta, you know, that she's leaving you guys, but I'm happy because I'm all
so glad.
Y'all didn't know she was leaving?
Oh, no, we're going to get her. We got something. We got something to talk about.
Wait a minute, ladies. Y'all didn't know she was leaving?
We got something to talk about.
So you mean to tell me that y'all came on the Don Adams Jr. show and that the cat was let out of the bag? You know what? First of all, I'm mad for y'all. You know what? Let me let y'all in on a secret. I got a big ass dog, and you know what? I'm gonna put that dog on somebody for y'all.
Don't do it.
I want to say this really, really quick, and this goes to show you once again how God works and how quickly I adhere to what He's doing. You said 5 minutes ago that Obama was starting a hunger campaign. And I said I was going to reach out to him. And then Ronnie, she spills the beans on Carletta that she's moving to Washington. So now I can have a direct outlet. Don't have to pay for a hotel. I could just come there. Obama. Thank you, Father God.
You just said it all.
You know what? I'm going to say this to you, young lady. You are a true, true entrepreneur because, you know what? Your spirit shines. You know, even though you were saddened by the news that you heard, you still found a silver lining. That's what we need to concentrate on. You know, and before we go any further, let me put something else out there for the family. I want to put this out there. The food stamps rolls have expanded to levels, to record levels. Over 36 million Americans now are collecting aid. An increase of nearly 40% from the past 2 years, and the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act was passed last winter. Okay, family, I'm gonna say that one more time. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act was passed last winter, which raised the average monthly food stamp benefit per person by about 17% to $133. Many states have made it easier for those eligible to apply, but rising applications and staffing cuts have also brought long delays. So I want to put that out there because I know that we mentioned, you know, President Obama has made a commitment to suspend or to do away with childhood hunger in the families by the year 2015. And this is the format or the basic portion of what he has enacted during his administration to see that happens. What do you think about that, Jada?
I have a question for you real quick in reference to that last statistic. When you cook a meal, I'm not trying to be in your business, but do you live alone? Do you have other people in the house with you?
I'm a single man.
Okay.
So I live alone.
If you figure, like, you want to go and cook a meal tonight, I'm feeling good, I want to go cook a nice meal for myself, how much will you spend in the grocery store?
It depends. I mean, because, you know, I was married before, so usually when I go to the grocery store, you know, I'll just shop. I know typically what I'm going to eat, so I'll make out a list of what I use, and I'm going to buy it, then I'll eat. But if I was to go and purchase a meal for a one-time meal, I think the way that I cook and eat is I try to eat healthy, so I would say maybe $20, maybe $25 is what I would spend on the average.
That's for a single person. Now, I'm a former food stamp recipient, so I'm gonna be put the real numbers out there. You say the raise has been 17 per family. A family of four food stamps is $450, $490 a month. That's $100, $125 a week. No way in the world you can give your family a healthy meal a day off of just food stamps alone. So that number right there shows you that families who are receiving food stamps are still suffering because you're shopping for groceries, you know, you're getting the things that you have to do, but by the second week, you're hungry again because you've cooked meals every day and there's no more. So they need to come up with another plan for that because that once a month giving food stamps is not working. Maybe breaking it down to I'm putting something on your card in the beginning and come back in the middle, helping you out, because that process is causing a major problem as well. So that's something that needs to be addressed. on maybe how the food stamps are being issued, or they need to do another increase, because there's no way they can survive off that. Not at all. Not at all. I know a single guy, he gets $195 a month. He can't survive off that by himself. So that's an issue that, you know, it's great and dandy. It's a help, but it's not the solution. It's not really helping with the problem. And then, you know, you have some of these kids who may get $1,500 of food stamps to their, you know, to their homes, but their parents have drug issues, so they're selling these food stamps. So they need to come up with different plans to help these problems out, because there's so many different things with that food stamp card causing these kids to starve. So we need to address all those issues about food stamps.
You know what, Jada? I'm going to put something out there, Jada, to support what you're saying. And family, I know you're in the blog room. You know, and the blog room is open from what I understand. One of the producers has notified me of that. But you know what, family, I'm just going to let you know, y'all might have to call in or at least hit me up on Messenger, because at this point in time, it's not up on my screen. So I know that the family's out there listening. And I also want to give shouts out to the lady over in New Zealand who communicated with us on the show the other day. New Zealand family, we have folks in New Zealand that are chiming in with us. Somebody's got a lot of feedback. Here's something that I want to put out there to support what Jada's saying. Problems gaining access to food were highest in households with children headed by single mothers. We all know that. But how about this, family? About 37% of them reported some form of food insecurity compared with 14% of the married households with children. About 29% of Hispanic households reported food insecurity compared with 27% of households and 12% of white households. Serious problems were most prevalent in the South, followed equally by the West and the Midwest as far as food insecurities. That's huge, family, because what we talked about earlier, Jade and I agreed to say this, that the lack of food in our homes is not a racial issue, okay? It's a status issue. And it becomes a status issue because of the economical issues that we face. Follow me through on this one, family. That's why I choose. What do you think, Jada?
I'm with you all. It's very much a status issue. Hunger is a status, and it's awareness that needs to be, just like I see these meth commercials, they need to have hunger commercials. Just as on following each methamphetamine commercial needs to be a commercial about hunger here in America, because it has no color. It has no creed, doesn't care your religion, your background, if you have a degree, if you had businesses or whatever. If you fall short on one of those different things, you're going to linger into the hunger. So that's, I mean, it's the issue, and it just needs to be addressed around the board. That's my fight. That's what I'm going to continue fighting to the day I go home to glory, fighting this hunger issue, because it's very sincere, it's very deep. I just feel that kids need to eat, seniors need to eat, adults need to eat. Everyone needs to eat to survive. So, I mean, even with the thing that I do, I go into families' homes and I film, and you can go and watch some of that. I go into the homes and I film me cooking with kids and bringing them to the family table. Like, that family table, it means so much. You know, you're helping people with self-esteem because you're speaking to them. You're finding out things about your family. You know, food, it carries so much weight in the world, and we're just not paying attention to it.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge, Jada. You know, there are some conservatives out there who have attacked the surveys methods with the numbers that we've given out on the show today, saying it's hard to define what it measures. The 18-item questionnaires that people are talking about have to do with skipped meals and hunger pains that people feel. But also whether people have worries about getting food. Basically what they're trying to say is that the statistics that we are putting out there are actually inflated, or so to speak. And here's what I want to say to them. You know, when we do child support shows, one of the things that we talk about in child support shows is that you know, the people or the men that make these rules are people that don't have to suffer along with what they're putting out there. You understand what I'm saying, family? Somebody's in a car somewhere with some feedback. Who is that? those folks that are making these laws and creating these rules that we live by, the same folks that are contesting what we're talking about right here today, don't have to live the things that we live, family. And that's huge, because you know what, by the numbers, we are greater than they are. What I'm saying to you is this. When it comes to whatever our passions are, be it hunger, be it mental health with our women, let me tell you something, family. Those people that are in office that don't want to think the way we think, or that don't want to act the way we want them to act as far as voting and passing laws that we need that affect our communities, family, we can vote their happy asses right up out of office. There is power in voting. This hunger issue that we're talking about is something that we don't necessarily have to deal with. Well, I'm going to say this. I won't say deal with on the front that in a manner in which to say it won't exist, but it's something that we can tackle. Okay? The conservatives are raising hell about some of the food programs that our president has put in place to fight this hunger issue. What do you think about that?
I'm ready to fight with him, because it's crazy that you can stand up and vote against something that's right to feed children, and you go home to your home with your food in the refrigerator, in the deep freezer. You have the option of going out, taking your family out to dinner. Like, I meet kids that have never experienced sitting in a restaurant, because that's not an option in their family, you know. So that's crazy that they would do that, and that's why I make it my business to walk up to those same conservatives, let them know who I am. Some of them even try flirting with me. Come on and flirt over here, because I got something amount for you all when you get closer. So that's, you know, it bothers me to the fullest that they can open their mouths to do that. But that's why, you know, we need more people out here to get out here and fight for that. You know, if they don't know that we're fighting, they're going to pass it. You know, I was in one of the House meetings, and one of the lobbyists stood up for something. Like, I didn't know the guy was a lobbyist. And it was trying to pass a bill, and didn't think no one was there to fight about it. And this guy, who you wouldn't even think that he was, you know, had the ability to stand up. He stood up and he said, "No, you're not. Put it back. You got to start all over again." So that's why I'm familiarizing myself with those people, so I can get in there and see what you're doing behind closed doors, so we can get out here and stop it. So, because it needs to be done. We don't give ourselves that knowledge. And I know, coming from where I come from, I would have never thought to be in the Capitol talking to senators. Never in my life. Who are they? Not me. But now I am, because this is my passion, and I'm not going to let you pass something that's stopping kids and families from having one valuable thing, and that's food. So we just need more people out here fighting on the forefront and not just sitting inside saying, "Oh, my gosh, that's going on," and not doing anything.
Wow, that's powerful there. Ronnie, what do you think about that, Ronnie?
You know, they take my words, and I agree, because hunger is just so important. And I think that, you know, there isn't enough being said. I think it's something that's not on the forefront as much as, you know, all of these things that we have that's going around. And I would say to you know, to Ms. Jada, you know, I'm on that fight with you, and I think that the biggest person that we can actually go to and really make the movement is really with Michelle, because Michelle's platform from the day that she actually got in office has been, you know, the talking to, you know, children and to Americans and so forth about hunger and everything else, and she has been doing such a big movement with it. But again, you know, it just can't be her. It needs to be a strong movement. So I think that, you know, if we all come together and we all join your petition, join your fight, then we can really take this movement to another place and make it a forefront.
Exactly.
Wow.
I'm at the point right now I would go play with Sasha to get my point heard to them, to get it out there. It's not even about Michelle or Obama. Somebody needs to hear it. So if I have to go play double dutch with Sasha, let's get it in.
I'm with you. I'm definitely with you. Definitely.
Wow.
At this
time.
It's
powerful, powerful stuff, powerful stuff. You know something, we've got about 4 minutes left in the show, and before we wind this down, as always, I want to give my guests the opportunity to give some last-minute comments on everything that they have discussed. But before we do that, I want to say this. I want to apologize to the family that's in the blog room. You know, Don EOTM Adams misses his sidekick, the Knight Rider. I'm just going to put it out there. Knight Rider, wherever you are, I miss you. I'm struggling with the blog room tonight, family, and I do apologize for that. We will work on that for Friday's show and future shows. With that being said, Jamtown, I did receive your message, Jamtown, and I know that you are with us in the EOTM family. For those of you who are listening, Jamtown is one of my listeners out in the New Zealand area. That's the country of New Zealand, okay? So that you know, family, that our messages do go far and they do go wide. With that being said, I want to give Yolanda an opportunity to give some last-minute words on her particular platform, and if she wishes to comment briefly on what Jada had to say, and then we'll go forward from that point with Jada speaking next, and then Ronnie, and then myself. Go ahead, Yolanda.
I would like to, like I said again, thank everybody for listening and for the platform. I hope that you become more aware, you do more research on the platform on Black women and mental health. And please don't take, for every Black woman or every woman out there, please don't take whatever you're going through lightly. If you feel a need to talk to somebody or get help, do that fast, because once you go over to the other side, it's hard coming back. So thank you again.
Wow.
I hope that you come out of support of the Miss Black Georgia pageant, and thank you. Once again.
All righty, Jada.
First of all, I want to thank you again for having me, you and the staff, you and the crew, for having me here again and having the ladies on board. I just want to say again thank you to my husband and my family for, you know, allowing me to spend so much time with my platform and with this pageant, and just thanking the staff of Miss Black Georgia for embracing us the way that they have. Thank you so much, Glenda Miss Color, although she's leaving, but I'm grateful for them. Thank you, New Zealand. How are you guys doing? For being a part of the show. I wish you were here on Saturday to come and see us do a great job, or we'll send you a DVD if you need me. Just contact MissBlackGeorgia.org and we will be there. And in addition to that, just everybody do your research. I'm not sure, but I'm going to say my website is www.divawith2bs.biz, and you can all check me out and see what I'm out here doing, and log on and tell me how you want to support or just spread the word about hunger. That's what I want. That's what I'm looking for. Enjoy every meal like it's your last and live life to the fullest. Love you. Goodbye.
Powerful, powerful. Go with it, Ronnie. We got 2 minutes, Ronnie.
I'm going to say EOTM better get first dibs on that book, because I did hear you talk about that book coming out. So
there's no
promotion better than, you know, good promotion. So, you know, make sure we do get that cover, because we do want to put it in the magazine and let everyone know what you're doing. Again, thank you guys for coming on, and make sure you guys tune in on Thursday, because we'll have two more contestants on talking about their platform. And again, to the ladies, thank you guys so much. Please do make sure that you send me your bios and your pictures, so that way we can get it in the magazine. Good luck to you both for the pageant on Saturday. I know you guys are going to rock it, and I can't wait to talk to everyone on Monday, because I want to definitely bring everybody back and see, get everybody's thoughts and all that good stuff. So I'm looking forward to it.
Thank
good
you.
Deal.
Thank
Listen,
you.
Ladies. Listen, ladies, I got 1 minute left. I want to thank you both for taking the time out and sharing your information and your platforms with the family, the EOTM family. Remember this, family, EOTM is really about enlightenment. Entrepreneurs on the Move is what it stands for, family. As Ronnie stated, the next two ladies on the show we're going to have are Carla Hawkins and Tracy Johnson, and we're going to talk about organ and tissue donations, and we're also going to be talking about individuals with disabilities. So join in the next time, family. I think it may be Thursday, the 29th, on the Don EOTM Adams Show, as we continue to chop it up with the Miss Black Georgia USA contestants. Peace and love, y'all. Have a good one.
Okay. Bye-bye.